Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our metaphysics, and in the political world around us. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana. And I am joined by Mark. Mark, are you there? Can't hear you. I can see that you're on the line, but it's not working yet. Hopefully it'll come through. And this is a warning for all of us with Mercury retrograde that Mercury's not retrograde yet, but it's heading into its shadow this week. And everything is going to start slowing down. And in that process, so I would ask you all to start battening down the hatches and getting your bills paid and tightening up on the most important conversations that you need to have. Start reading your news with even more discriminating approach to sort out what is true and what is not. Now, it doesn't go retrograde until April 1st, but in its shadow, it's covering the part of the zodiac that it will back up over. So that's the beginning, the initiation of the process. And then, hello, Mark, you there? Nope. Okay. And then Mark hopefully will be back, and I hope Ann Ortley will join us. As I said, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Ronan, Montana. And so with Mercury about entering its shadow, the moon is in Aries tonight, Mercury is in Aries, and the sun is at 21 Pisces, approaching a conjunction with Neptune over the next few weeks, and it will be exact next weekend. So that adds to that mercurial situation. And I think we're joined by Anne. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Heather. How are you? I saw Mark out there, and I clicked him, but then he went away, so I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, his signal was having trouble coming in.
Oh, okay.
How are
cool.
you, my dear?
I am good. I'm down here in Boca Ciega Bay. I have a friend visiting, and we just got out of the hot tub, and I said to her, what time is it? She goes, 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh, my God, I got a show. So I'm wet-headed and fresh from the shower after having soaked my body for 3 hours in the pool and the hot tub.
Oh,
so
heaven.
I am terrific. Nothing nothing better for a Pisces moon girl than a little hot tub in pool time. Yeah, so.
And Venus has just gone into Pisces. That's how to celebrate Venus and Pisces if there ever was one.
I was going to say, yeah, Venus, yeah.
Yeah, and the sun is coming to conjunct Neptune, so you're doing Neptune left and right. How lovely!
I am doing Neptune all over the place. I'm in the heavy Neptune, you know. It is. I mean, a lot of people are really, you know. Last week we had with that new moon, we had a lot of ending energy with Saturn and Neptune midpoint, and the Uranus, Saturn on the north node. So I had people have dog die and get fired from jobs and kind of marking the end of cycles coming together. There I see Mark again. Let's see if he gets in. And Mark, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, I had technical difficulties.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of Neptune up there, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we were supporting that this is an example of Mercury beginning to head into its shadow. So it's an interesting process. Yep, static, little crossover. But it's so good to hear you both. And and we're getting ready for, you know, a week from tomorrow is the first day of spring. It'll be on March 19th in the evening. Very exciting.
And then on March 23rd, we have a full moon eclipse because we entered into eclipse season on Saturday. So that's always fun because it
brings
all sorts
of things. Talk about that new one.
talk about, well, the first one is a full moon eclipse. So what it does is it's going to ask you to go back to September 23rd of 2022 when the sun and the moon met at four Libra, and then to go forward 9 months to Cancer time last year, June 23rd. And then now we're at the full moon phase with the moon in Libra, and June was the sun in Cancer, moon in Libra. Now we're at the full moon phase of Libra, and then when we get to Capricorn, you know, December 23rd of this year, we'll have the closing square. So it's a lunar, so if you think back to those times, the story gets bigger, brighter, clearer, and expands, and now we're really seeing it. So you want to look at where four Libra Aries is in your chart, and you also want to reflect on those earlier times. And so that's the full moon one. And then, of course, we release, release, release as we go towards that new moon eclipse, which we'll talk about more as it gets closer on April 8th. And that one's huge because that one runs across the whole country, starting in Texas. I think it comes in across Brownsville, goes out over Vermont.
Yep.
So when you have a big eclipse across the country, it brings big changes. And it is Aries Sun on the North Node at 19. That new moon eclipse will be at 19 Aries. So you watch what you have at 19 Aries because there's this push to move everything forward. So we're in. It'll be interesting 6 weeks is basically the way I think of it. So
And this is but such an interesting.
Well, what eclipses do is because the lights line up, the sun and the moon line up, we lose the electromagnetic pulse. And so it's kind of like almost a short circuit of our systems or our environment. And it kind of like when you blow your computer, you blow a fuse. It's like the sun's doing that or the moon's doing that. So it brings up all sorts of stuff when you power back up again. And you have this different way. You see things in a different way. So.
I think of this time of year as always a little tricky as we have all this Piscean floatiness and the feeling overwhelmed and being so aware of the pain of the world, all that angst, the closing of how subtle the world is in that Pisces lineup. But Mercury's already in Aries. The sun goes into Aries, and you go soft, swampy to brash and focused. And it can be like, oh, I hurt, therefore I'm going to kick you. Or, you know, or I am overwhelmed, but now I can actually do something with this. So that's the energy field of this time of year anyway. And then those eclipses come in and really unblock blocked energy and shift it forward.
And shift it forward, yeah, in a very rapid way, in a very rapid way, yeah. And it does feel like things are a little bit, you know, they get eclipsed. Eclipse means, of course, to leave, but it also means to rise up, you know. So like the star goes on the stage and breaks a leg and the understudy comes in and rises in, you know. So it has an interesting energy of how do we how do we push ourselves forward? And we are in very liminal times with all these outer planets changing signs. Uranus going into Gemini after 8 years in Taurus, which is next year, but we're going to feel it this year because of his meeting up with Jupiter. He's saying, new story, that's in April. Neptune leaving Pisces and going into Aries. And then Saturn and Pluto, of course, is hanging out and leaving Capricorn and going into air. So it's when there's this many transitions of the outer planets, it does make us feel very destabilized because completely new energies are taking over while the old energies are going, what are you doing? You're taking over? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are. Yeah.
They are. It is a change in the situation. And it is a change in the changing of the guards.
Yep.
It's really the energy is passing through a portal, and what you step into is totally different from what you just left.
Yeah.
So leave whatever is to be left behind.
Yeah. Yeah, new beginnings. And it does, things do get left behind, you know, so, because it is it's an ending energy with a new beginning right immediately following it. Mm-hmm.
And with all of the activities from the very active sun we have that's still shooting huge sparks and will all year long, that, you know, we're watching the world change through the pain of what's going on in the Mideast. And mm-hmm. we're watching the change of what's happening in America and the American chart. We hit the progressed lunar new moon for America later on this month. I think it's around the 24th. And it is, you know, it's the new moon this time is in Pisces, letting us really rethink ourselves and feel how vulnerable we are. But you can feel in these last few weeks of the old cycle, all the old energy, you know, right before a progressed lunar new moon, it's a review of the last 30 years and all the problems and all the faces and all the people and same old, same old. And we hope for some fresh energy coming up in the time ahead. It will be another 11 months after that, I believe, before the progressed moon goes into Aries. And I think the enthusiasm ramps up. I'm hoping it's not a military enthusiasm, but I expect to see some new stories, new liveliness, you know, rebuilding instead of resisting.
Yeah. Or being depressed. I mean, I think that's the other thing. A lot of people are feeling very low-key and depressed or sad or melancholic with Pisces. You know, and it is. It's a, you know, play me a sad song, you know. Energy, it's got a lot of energy around how do I, you know, the sorrows the most, but also the sorrows that kind of lead us forward, you know. Yeah. So it's definitely a feeling nature. So when's your surgery, Heather? I know you're going to be
The day after the eclipse, but at least it's after the eclipse, and I don't have anything at that degree. So it's, you know, at the dark of the moon, it'll be April 9th. And everybody can send me good energy on April 9th as I have my the last three vertebrae of my back reorganized.
Cool.
Yeah.
May it be a good day for the surgeon. Yay. Yeah.
Yay. The aspects to my chart are good, even though it scared me that it was right after that.
We got your back.
Hmm? What about it?
I said we got your back, Heather.
You got my back. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And it was, as Uranus, it's past it now, but as Uranus opposed my Saturn in Scorpio, when, you know, a problem that I've had for 20 years suddenly became untenable. So it was pretty clear. Yep, shifting lower back.
Right, and 21 years ago there was a square, right? Yeah. Because Uranus is, for those in the audience, Uranus takes 84 years. So she had the square, which said, oh, I did something. And then 21 years later, she had the opposition that said, okay, now, Heather, we have to do something about it. You know, that's the beauty of astrology. You can look back at the beginning of cycles and see how things unfold and watch that cycle, you know, continue. So if you think about the new moon in Libra and then the opening square last Cancer last summer and now the full moon, you know, there's a real shift in direction in terms of what we're doing and where we're going. So it's this energy kind of opening up in a different level, you know. So very big, very big. Yeah.
What else, Mark and Ann, do you see exciting in the week ahead?
Sun conjunct Neptune, yeah. Mm-hmm.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Want to see how many people get a little tipsy? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to Paganicon for the weekend, so I'm going to be surrounded by the fairies. I'm going to be with 1,000 various forms of pagans and meeting up with other druids and doing very Neptunian things. So it'll be lovely to have that a week, just remembering that.
Where is it?
It's in Minnesota. And I just realized as we're talking that I will be in Minneapolis. I will be down in downtown St. Paul on St. Patrick's Day Eve. And as I remember, that's pretty crazy. Why did I think I'm getting my Airbnb in such a crazy place? I do not know. I don't think that was wise of me, but no wonder it was available.
you're going to be experiencing the other side of Neptune, Heather. Think of it that way.
Right.
You know, so
right,
Neptune, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Drive carefully that night.
Mhm. Mhm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
But
that's
I'm looking
big.
Forward to seeing my son. Mhm.
Yes. Yes. Going to see your baby. Yeah, because he's still there.
Yes.
When you live there. Yeah. Mhm.
And you know, it's been interesting watching this Neptune, and my baby is in his 40s, by the way, for anybody who's worried. This Neptune transit seems to be it's bringing up, you know, our former president cannot stop lying, and it keeps bringing up the next layer of the lies and the next layer of the illusion. And it is, I'm kind of hoping that these conjunctions begin to really explode those. You know, but it seems like you'd think they would have done so already for those that, for anybody who doesn't want it to be right. I think kind of even here in Montana, I'm seeing less and less people who, even though they're politically very drawn to being right wing, are they don't have much truck with dishonest people. And so I think it's the dishonesty that's causing more problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, I'm raised by Republicans, and I have quite a few Republican relatives. I'm definitely liberal progressive on my side, but, you know, I don't have problems with them. It's a framework. My father was frugal. He would be. You know, he sent us to work at age 16 because he was like, you're old enough to go earn your money. I'll pay for your education, but I'm not, you know. And when I graduated from college, he said, okay, you get 2 weeks free, and then you got to start paying me rent. Is it pay rent on my bedroom?
Uh-huh.
He's like, yeah. You're living in a nice house with the kitchen and stuff. You got to pay rent. And I was like, wow. So I moved out. He sent it to my brother, and my brother, you know, he said, I asked him how much, and he told me $500. I said, he wanted to charge you $500 for your bedroom? And my brother moved out. Now, of course, we moved out and we paid more rent, but it was the principle. You know, it's like, you know, you kind of have to do that. But that was my father, the Republican. He was like, he would vote no, and my mother would vote yes, and they would cancel each other out. But it was, he was conservative. I'd rather have the money in my pocket than in yours. You know, so I don't have a problem with that. Conservative energy of Republicans. I appreciate it actually, because we need we need the spectrum. We need
Saturn and Jupiter.
Yeah. We need Saturn and Jupiter.
Right.
Yeah. Totally. So it's a good thing, but it also is, you know, it's about being conscious of, all right, now how are we gonna work with this energy? But this isn't really Republican. This is dictator crazy stuff.
Right. This is oligarchy. It's not conservative Republicanism.
No. Yes. No.
And it's narcissism.
And that's okay. You know, I mean, we have to own, like, is that what we want? Do we want somebody that, you know, bosses us around and lies to us and tells us what to do? I mean, I've always been rebellious, so no, I don't want that. But other people like it, you know. You like being bossed around? Great. I'm good with that. Just don't boss me around. And so that's part of, I think, what we're working with here with the Sun Neptune is kind of a popping of the delusion and the bubble and figuring out how to look at things in a different way so we see them. And with Venus going into Pisces, she's softening up the Taurus planets, which are Jupiter and Libra, Jupiter and Uranus, and she's softening up the Libra South Node. And she's saying, you know, everything has a value. Everything has, something redeeming about it, and kind of connecting into the redemption of Venus in Pisces. Because I always think of her as agape love, where you love, love. You know, that's part of what you do.
You just love
it. You may not like it, but you love it, you know. Yeah.
That's beautifully said. Yeah, should we take a few callers?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Wonderful. And 917-757, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Thank you so much for picking me. Can you hear me? I've
yes,
never called
can.
In before.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect. What's your birth
information? I
love information?
You guys. It is 6/11/1977, born at 5:43 a.m.
Wait,
in
go
New
a little
York.
Lower. Wait,
I'm
19,
sorry, I'm sorry.
What was the month?
Okay, June 11th.
June 11th, okay, 1977, okay.
77, 5:43 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And where?
Born in New York. New York, New York.
New York, New York. New York, New York.
Okay.
And so, how can we help you?
All right, basically, like, my life went through total transition in 2020, lost my mom, lost many friends, lost my job, lost
You mean when Pluto was squaring your moon, right?
Oh, yeah,
and
the North
and
Node was
nodes.
Exactly conjunct my ascendant and sun. So now 4 years later, I finally have left a relationship, but, like, my life is very much in limbo. My career is in limbo. I'm an actor. I feel momentum, but it has not happened yet. And I'm like, should I move? I finally left the guy. And there's a director stringing me along, but nothing's, like, happening. I feel like I'm still stuck in this limbo. So I'm just wondering if you guys see anything positive, I guess, coming along, whether it's career or my love life
Both.
Or any of that stuff.
Both.
Really?
I mean, I'm seeing, you know, your progressed son has just moved into your third house of communication and neighborhood and getting the word out and connecting. Your progressed moon is at 3 Capricorn, so about 3 months ago, you started to really buckle down to your work. And it's moving through your house, seventh house. Yeah. And it's trining your Mars and your Chiron and your Venus. So there is a lot coming up. Now, Pluto's got a square coming to those Taurus planets next year, not this year. So there is some big changes coming. But it really feels like you're going to be asked to love and asked to engage. What do you see, Anne?
So.
Yeah, I would agree. Your progressed Venus is about to go into your first house, which is always a big deal for people in the arts and creativity. And you also are having you're having the eclipse right on your moon, right? And that's a it's a nodal reversal. But look at where the nodes are in your house of creativity and that's the house of your career, right? The 11th house the house of you work in groups as an actor. That's the house of working in groups. That's the house of embracing what's important. Now, you did come in with the moon on the south node. So having released the guy, you now created an opportunity for something to come in on that south node. So let's see what shows up there. And then also the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is at 23 Taurus, and that's in your 12th house, and Pluto's trining your Mercury. So sometimes that shows up as voice work, you know, where you're a character and you're animating a character, plus your progressed sun's in the third. And your progressed ascendant has got one more pass from Pluto this fall. So to your point, you're feeling very liminal. You know, I'm ready for the new cycle. And I do think it looks like a nice cycle, especially with the progressed moon. Remember, when it's down at the very bottom, when it's in Capricorn, last degrees of Sag, this is the very bottom of the chart. Because it goes all the way down to the Tropic of Capricorn and then it starts to climb up. So think about where you were in 95, 96. There's kind of a combination.
Oh, how interesting.
Of that. Yeah, yeah. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what the nodes bring and the eclipses that line up with them. You should just... Take a reading on whatever's coming to you, and if it reads right, go with it. Yeah. Probably will. It's not likely to be anything negative, but there might be something better. So.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm getting a lot of mixed messages, so it's great to hear.
I wouldn't give up. You know, Venus is at the very precipice of entering your first house, so this is kind of like when the break is going to happen.
Right. It'll be there in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then then Mercury, well, just watch in April as Mercury retrogrades that you don't go back to your ex. I know your chart is not prone to that, but it does bring up, it's kind of like a review of old energy. Like, oh, come on, you know, it wasn't that bad. And it's really important that you keep focused on the future, even during that time, whatever that means.
Thank you. That makes so much sense because we still share a play together, and the lease is up in April. So that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's good.
You know,
April.
Now, when you were thinking of moving, where are you thinking of moving?
Well, honestly, like, I want to stay in New York area, I assume. So just even right now I'm very isolated also because of that relationship, but I live very far out in the city. I'm from New York. I want to live somewhere more local or just something nicer with an outdoor space or something. I mean, maybe that's wishing too much.
Because you've got Sun on the ascendant and Jupiter on the ascendant running through that the East Coast, but a little farther south. At the same time, you know, so if you ever get any chances to work in D.C., or Philly or D.C., consider it.
No, I've literally wondered about that. Thank you for saying that, because I'm confused by relocation charts, so I've wondered about that.
Okay, no, actually, I'm sorry. That was your progress chart that I was looking at. I still see the same thing, that you may find you've got the nodal axis that runs right through D.C., the moon on the descendant, the nodal axis that there's karmic involvement. So look for connections with work that starts in D.C. or Philly, and then how do you bring it up to New York, or do you go down there and do some work? Just keep your eyes out.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's great advice.
Yeah,
thank you, guys. Is there anything else? Sorry?
No, it looks like you get something nice this summer as the progressed moon goes along. And also, you know, this is kind of the Pluto trining your Mercury, trining your series. It'll be some kind of a role that has elderly children and elders involved. So that's what you want to watch for in terms of when you get a call in. But you also have this progressed Mercury is at the very last degrees of Leo, about to go into Virgo. When that happens, a lot of times you get a repetitive job that runs for a while.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Rather than one-off dreams. And then the Virgo rules your Gemini planets. So again, you know, that kind of pulls you forward. So I think I wouldn't give up. I would keep pushing. The Pluto phase looks very positive, and the period of time that you're running now, especially when you have your Jupiter return next year, you're going into the Mars phase, which is in Taurus. So that's a building energy. For the next 12 years, Mars in Taurus is running your chart in the 11th house of groups. So I think it's a group. And he rules your money house. He also rules your money from your career and your work in groups. So this next 12 years, you know, the Sun in Gemini is in the 12th. So sometimes I work, sometimes I don't. I do this, I don't do that.
Yeah.
But now it's getting more commitment.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We've got a minute left, so we're going to say goodbye and good luck.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you all so much. Thank you.
Great. Okay.
And Mark, do you have any last words for how people can work with this week's energy?
Well, I think pay attention to music and drama and artistic things.
Uh-huh.
A good week
for
that.
Uh-huh. And I would say be careful around driving around inebriated people this weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
or living around them in your case, Heather, right? You're going to be living
with
them.
It's going to be pretty funny. And may all be well for you and have a wonderful chance. Remember that the Neptunian is vision of better life, vision of better future, vision of better world, and then see what you can do to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Anne, do you have any last thoughts?
No, I think the whole point of it is bless whatever you love and love it. You know, really, you know, say those appreciative words to things, to people, to your cat, to your chair. You know, like I had a moment with an orange yesterday where I was like, you know, I think you're the best orange I ever had. And I don't know what it was. It was just delicious. And so I think the Neptune encourages us to have that, you know, it can be plunging into depression, but it can also be kind of living in a state of grace and gratitude, you know. And looking for those little messages that come to you and talking actively to the universe, going, okay, so, like, give me a sign. Like, why the hell is this happening, you know, if you're something you don't like? Like, just dialoguing and getting it out there. So that would be, but carefully, with Mercury and Aries, you can send people's feelings.
So yes,
a little bit of a sharp tongue, you know. So
Anne, will you be here next week? Because I'm going to be out of town. And then I'll be back the following week.
Yes. I am planning on being here next week, although my eclipse looks to be my sister dying. They put her on hospice this morning. So I am planning on being here. It's okay. It's, you know, I'm looking at my transits, I'm looking at hers. So So I am pretty sure I'm fine. I can call in from wherever I am. So I'm definitely planning on it. So, you know, we're going to go visit her probably Wednesday, you know, to see her. So.
And for everybody, we're planning on starting in mid-May with a Buzzsprout, and we'll have more information on our Facebook page about our changeover to a new podcast. And there may be a break between now and then while we go do some things, but we will start off, but we may all be here. So just keep coming back and we'll get you there.
Yeah. Okay. We're migrating as part of the Jupiter and Gemini. We're finding a new home after 12 years on Blog Talk. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I love the name. It's got two names. It's a Buzzsprout, so it's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Yes. All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great week. Okay. Bye. Okay.